Lord, on this Christmas day, we pray that you will be present, that we might know your presence and hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, Christmas has arrived. Yes. And I wonder what treats you found this morning lurking underneath that tree. Anything good? Christmas is a wonderful time, isn't it? For tradition and for family. And everyone has their favourite family tradition, their favourite Christmas tradition. In some families, it's about opening all the presents up at daybreak, isn't it? Certainly if you have children under, well, under 30. For others, it's all about what you do after lunch. You know, the round of cricket in the backyard, or maybe it's the leisurely snooze come 3 o'clock. Or maybe it's that walk around the neighbourhood. Traditions are important because, well, they make Christmas feel like Christmas, don't they? But Christmas is also about family. It's that time of year where everyone comes from far and near, aunts and uncles and cousins, and even folks who are at a loose end. Christmas is that long culmination of all those discussions about whose turn is it to host and what dishes will everyone bring. It's about grandma fussing over the kids and, well, granddad carving the ham and the kids looking forward to having both ice cream and custard on their pudding. Family is important because, well, it just makes Christmas feel like Christmas. And while traditions and family are so important at Christmas, they point to a deeper reality, a spiritual reality that lies at the heart of Christmas. Now, you might have been surprised to hear in our Bible story this morning no mention of Mary or Joseph, and that nothing was said about angels and wise men. In the gospel we read this morning, the focus is not on the details of when and how and who of Christmas, but on the spiritual heart of the story, the why of Christmas. John puts this spiritual reality quite simply when he says, "The Word became a human being. He made his home with us. We have seen his glory. It is the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And the Word was full of grace and truth." This is the spiritual reality of Christmas, that God has drawn near to us in the person of Jesus, who has shown us the character and the nature of God like nobody else can. And what is this person like? What is God like? John says quite simply, full of grace and truth. So what do these words, grace and truth, mean in a very confusing world like we have today? Well, grace is spoken of in many different ways. For some Christians, grace means God's unmerited favour, as though that somehow makes this thing really clear. But I think for many of us, that's still pretty confusing, isn't it? If the most irresistible force in the universe is a grandma with a chocolate cake, then I think this comes a little bit close to unpacking what the nature of grace is like. That grace is something even more powerful than grandma's chocolate cake. Because when things go right and we have the best day ever, when it's our birthday, there is always chocolate cake to celebrate, isn't there? And when things go wrong and we find ourselves having a no good, terrible, just the worst day ever, well, there's always chocolate cake to make us feel a little bit better. And when we've done the best that we can do, well, chocolate cake is so much better than a trophy, isn't it? or when we've messed up just beyond belief, when we've not only put both our feet in it, but when our hands and our shoulders are in it too, well, there's always chocolate cake to let us know that we are loved. This is what grace is like. Grace is the reality that God loves us with no ifs or buts. Grace is the reality that God is on our side, whether we have friends in high places or everyone gives us the cold shoulder. Grace is the reality that God holds out his hands and his heart to us, whether we are rich or poor or somewhere in between. We never deserve this kind of love. We can only ever receive it because that's just who God is. John gives us a picture of this grace in verses 10 and 11. I wonder if you heard it, that when Jesus showed up, the world didn't recognize this grace. And while his people didn't even accept him or want him, grace still showed up. Because grace is not put off by cold shoulders. Grace is not fazed by indifference. And grace is certainly not deterred by ignorance. Many of our Christmas traditions and family experiences are all about grace, aren't they? Christmas encourages us to show grace, like serving dinners to strangers at St. John's Care, or maybe inviting the kids from the neighbourhood to play on our new bikes. Or by just putting aside all the grumbles that seem to breed during the year so that we can have a few laughs and some good times around a table together. That's grace. So what about truth? What does that look like? When we think of truth in our world today, our minds so often turn to facts and principles, things that are solid and real and reliable. But holding on to truth in our world seems so hard when so many shriek fake news whenever someone comes up with something that challenges or otherwise points out the inconsistencies of those who hold power. We live in a world where everyone not only has a perspective, but an opinion, whose strength and conviction seems to be inversely proportionate to the degree of knowledge and insight that's held by the speaker. All of this makes John's words so remarkable. For John and the disciples, they didn't simply get to know the truth as though it were a set of principles buried in a dry and musty book buried in a library somewhere. No, they got to hang out with the truth. They got to hear and talk and walk and live with the truth. This person who showed us not simply how to live well, but who shows us something of who we really are. Whether we believe something is true or not, well, it doesn't change the truth one little bit, does it? Whether we choose to believe and to hear the truth about Jesus or simply brush it off as a load of superstition, well, that doesn't stop Jesus from being Jesus. What it does is give away the state of our hearts. That's what truth always does. The truth is that God deals with sin in our world, not through pain and punishment, but by grace. I know to many, sin is an old-fashioned word whose meaning has shrunk to little more than a naughty indulgence. Something that's wrong, but, well, it's mostly harmless. In reality, sin is one of the most toxic things around. The problem is we've all developed a tolerance for it. Because at the heart of sin as a concept is this idea of missing the mark. It's like an archer who misses the target, or an athlete who misses the one shot, or an artist who accidentally knocks the paint all over a nearly completed masterpiece. Sin distorts and twists and misshapes good things when they should be great. So John speaks of this problem as darkness, as that undefinable thing that envelopes our world and shrouds our eyes to the reality of grace and truth. The spiritual reality of Christmas is that the true light has come into the world and we are set free. Free from this darkness to be different. The grace and truth of Jesus is that we can be people who live with hope in a dark world. That we can be people of peace in a dark world. That we can be those who bring joy to those living in darkness. And above all, that we can be people who know how to love, because we know that we are loved by God. For according to John, it is only through love that we ever get to be our true selves, our God-breathed selves, people who bring hope and peace and joy and love to this world wherever they go. So Christmas is a time of tradition and family, which all point to this deeper spiritual reality that God loves us. The truth of Christmas is that you have been set free by grace. So celebrate this Christmas, won't you, with all your heart and soul and spirit, because God has come through Jesus. And if that has happened, then all things are truly possible. Amen.